And welcome to special edition number 21. I guess we're legal to drink now. It's the Joe Con site announcement podcast. Gosh, I'm so flustered. It's Indianapolis. It sucks. Hello again, everybody. I'm Gary. It's going to be my 10th con. With me, as always, going to be his 8th. It's Justin. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? Got the Prozac? You just swilling it down? Was me? The convention is in my town. I don't have to fly there. I'm going to save hundreds of dollars. Oh, my life, it's terrible.
Mike, seriously, what a sulky f***.
The closest it's been to me is Rhode Island. That was like a four-hour drive, and that was the best ever.
Don't you live in a giant tree, though? I mean, you're kind of out in the middle of nothing.
That added like an extra hour to my commute. That's true. Good point.
Getting out of the tree.
Out of the tree and fighting the bears. And
no such obstacles here. It's a modern metropolis.
Well, you live in Indianapolis. Everybody there owns like an Indy car, right?
Everybody owns Indy cars and 40 acres.
All right.
Celebrating his second Joe Con last year, and probably now his third this year, will be Mike. Mike, how are you?
Yeah, you know, because I'm just thinking that me going to Indianapolis, where my family still resides, and not having to pay a kajillion dollars in getting there, this actually is what enables me to go to my second in a row.
Well, yeah, it's going to be pretty tough for you to mess this one up, Mike.
I'm just saying, you want to bitch and moan.
I gotta stay home for the con.
Wow, Mike, that's a really good impersonation of Gary.
That's awesome. I'm the shit here.
The leadest of our group, having been to no cons, but still.
It's too good to go to the Joe Cons. That's for the riffraff.
Yeah, it's Chuck.
What's up?
Come on, Chuck. That is the shortest intro from Chuck on record ever. Thank you very much, Chuck. Well, let's jump on into this thing. Last year, and gosh, I think it was like last October, Justin, myself, and I think we had Josh to talk about the site announcement on New Orleans. Well, it came down this week. My worst nightmare, yes, Indianapolis got chosen. And, well, probably have a podcast with this peanut gang here to go over, once again, the early question that everyone starts asking when they start thinking about going to JoeCon. So what we did last year is Justin pulled together the list of questions and also pooled last year's FAQs, or actually not last year's FAQs, FAQs from the last 4 years from the Joe Club site. And we'll kind of go over those and kind of help you understand the process of what is the JoeCon site announcement and what are the next steps. So Justin, take it away so no one else makes fun of me.
First and foremost, the most important thing you can do when you're talking about preparing for JoeCon is just go on over to GIJoeCon.com, spelled just like it sounds. Right now when you get there, you're just going to get a big old flashy banner for the 2013 con, but there is should be a place to click down at the bottom that shows details and events from the 2012 convention. It says G.I. Joe, June 28th to July 1st, 2012, hit in New Orleans Riverside Hotel. Click that banner, and that banner will bring you to the regular page for the 2012 G.I. Joe convention. And from there in that menu over on the left, there's an FAQ link, there's a G.I. Joe convention archives link, and if you go into those archives, you can basically click on any banner from any convention over the past 10 years, and each one of them has an FAQ. And generally, just you might want to comb the FAQs. For this particular year, I would advise hitting those 2012 ones pretty heavily. There's going to be a lot of the familiar stuff, especially over the last couple of years, that didn't happen in years prior. The golden ticket just came into effect the past couple of years. Just some different things that, you know, changing limits and things like that for purchasing that came through last year that you'll want to kind of be aware of. So I would highly suggest you go to GIJoeCon.com, hit that downward banner, and go to one of the FAQs for 2012 and just comb through there a little bit. I mean, obviously, we'll cover the basics here, but just for some more detail, you can always go there as well. And in the show notes, I'll make sure I have all these last 4 years of FAQs linked. But for now, we want to start with the basics. First and foremost, where's the con? I think we already covered that. The convention is going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Buttholes. Jerks, all of you.
The hotel, Gary, the hotel is the JW Marriott, is that correct?
Yes, it's the JW Marriott. It's one of the newest hotels in downtown Indianapolis. Pretty much built specifically
for G.I. Joe Con. They started construction, yeah, a couple months ago.
It was built specifically for the NFL when the Patriots came and lost a game. What was that game?
You son of a bitch.
The triumphant
and
New York
Giants. Gary's making his comeback.
The vanquished New England Patriots.
So Gary's obviously determined to make multiple people butthurt on this podcast. He doesn't want to be the only one.
I love you, son of a bitch. It was that and the Conrad and a couple other hotels they built downtown. But Indianapolis is a big convention town. I think it's one of the top 10 convention sites in the United States.
No, sir. It is the number 2 convention city in the United States, trailing Las Vegas.
I could not find the citation for information on that, so I could not verify it. But I'll let you go ahead and say that, because I wasn't sure about it.
I'm going to jump on. I call it. It's the truth.
Okay.
Something to be aware of, though, the quality of the strippers isn't nearly as good as Las Vegas. So,
yes. Unless you get up into Kokomo Toys territory.
The quality of anything isn't that great out there.
Shut up, Chuck.
Whatever, Chuck.
Says a guy that had a hurricane just go through his town. Shut up.
Mr. I'm bitching about the con because it's time to bitch about the con. Can't fly to Indianapolis.
Yeah, there you go.
They don't run business shuttles out of LaGuardia to Indianapolis, Chuck. It's not $189 or anything. Whatever.
Yeah, Chuck. Even though I'm flying to New York City to go to Toy Fair, you're not flying to Indianapolis. I see how you are. But anyways, the JW is, if it's not the best, it's one of the best hotels downtown. It is the largest JW in the Marriott and the JW Marriott chain. So it is the largest building they have in their chain. It's a fantastic building. It has great views of the city. Every room has huge, huge windows that look out upon the city. Or if it's on the back end, it looks out over the university there. We might have to go around the horn to find out what everyone's favorite venue. I think most everyone's favorite venue was a Dallas Embassy Suites venue. At least that was for me in terms of being a nice venue and then around other things to do.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, this will probably be the nicest venue that JoeCon has ever been in.
Sweet.
I'm willing to say that right now.
Safe bet. It's within walking distance to one of my favorite bars in town as well.
There's a lot of great restaurants and bars nearby. It is a little bit of a walk to fast food. There really isn't immediate fast food nearby, but downtown Indianapolis is known for being a very walkable downtown with all the conventions and events that it has. So you could pretty much walk to anywhere you need to go inside of 10 minutes, and there's a lot of great things to do. Indianapolis is currently the 12th largest city in the United States, but you're not going to feel like it downtown, and downtown is very, very wide open.
And yet with all these great compliments you're throwing at your home city, you're still bitching and moaning.
He's a little bit of a prick.
Yeah.
You know, when I want to travel, I want to go to an airport, step on an airplane, and take off and go someplace.
See, most normal people would like to avoid getting on an airplane whenever humanly possible.
Oh, I love flying.
Oh, do you?
Oh, I love flying, yes. When you're talking to the guy flown around the world, yeah, I love it.
Gary takes every opportunity to be weightless.
Oh, I think that was I think he gave you one there, Gary.
It's when I fly over the St. Louis area, I look down and I think of all the little people.
Damn.
That's Indianapolis, and that is the hotel.
Cool.
It's a fine city. A fine city.
I think it sounds like a fantastic place. I'll go to that football stadium. I'll take a leak on it.
I'm going to request a corner room for Justin, so when he opens the shades in the morning, there's Lucas Oil.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It won't sting quite so much when I'm wearing my T-shirt for the 2012 Super Bowl champion Patriots.
The 2012 Super Bowl is over, Justin, and they lost.
Oh, that's right.
Well, how does that work? It was for the 2011 season.
But it was the 2012 Super Bowl.
All right, fine. The 2013 Super Bowl, then.
Justin, do you want to pick the next question?
Why don't you go play the Redskins again? See if you can actually beat them this time.
Denver's going to play,
the Redskins again. Tell me if you can beat them this time, huh?
Couldn't beat them last year either.
Like Peyton freaking Manning.
Couldn't beat the Redskins last year either. But who did we beat? Who did we beat?
Lots of teams.
That's right. 9 of them. Good job in that Super Bowl there, Chuckles. Good job.
Let's get moving on.
We could turn this into the sports smack hour pretty easily.
Yeah, this is our special edition convention coverage, and we can't even stop talking about football for this thing. Good God. Question number 3 was going to be what activities are in the area, and I don't know, do you want to elaborate a little bit more? You talked about the food in the area, but what about actual activities, strip clubs and topless clubs and other strip?
Well, I've actually seen a couple posts on several community sites, and when I say several, I just mean one, that talked about, well, there's no strip clubs in the area. Folks, if you want to go to strip clubs in downtown Indianapolis, you need to go to the west side or the east side. There's only one really downtown. That's the Red Garter. You can look it up online.
Gary has for ship.
The Garter has been downtown for as long as I can remember. Mike probably has heard of the Garter.
Yeah.
It's been down there forever. I think it's where all your politicians go after the long day in the state house. They go over to the Garter.
Is that where Rob Gronkowski was dancing after we lost the Super Bowl?
That's awfully highbrow for the Garter. I don't know. It might have been in his hotel room. I don't know.
There were all kinds of one-of-a-kind events after the Super Bowl last year, so it was probably at one of those.
Gotcha.
In terms of things to do downtown, you do have, to the near north side, the Indianapolis Children's Museum, which, ironically, was the place where G.I. Joe won the favorite toy of...
I think it was the favorite toy since the beginning of recorded time.
Of time. There we go, yes.
Barely beating Transformers and Hoops with Sticks.
If you move in closer to the city and immediately around...
To the immediate south is Victory Field.
Right. Home of the Indianapolis Indians, which is a longtime AAA affiliate, this time affiliated with the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's a fantastic ballpark, and in fact, they will be having their opening home weekend that weekend. Tickets are cheap. They will be playing the Columbus Clippers. You can get them online. Go to IndieIndians.com and buy your tickets there. It's a great place to go watch a baseball game, wouldn't you say, Mike?
One of my very favorite stadium experiences anywhere.
So, be honest with me, though. What's the difference between the AAA affiliate Pittsburgh Pirates and the actual Pittsburgh Pirates?
The Pittsburgh Pirates are about 5 years older on average.
Gotcha. Okay.
Whereas these guys are just mediocre and young.
Instead of mediocre and old. Okay.
Instead of mediocre and old, yes.
To the north of the JW, you will have the Idle Jorg Native American Museum, the Indiana State Museum, the NCAA Headquarters and Hall of Champions, the Indianapolis Zoo, White River State Park. That is a big touristy area and immediately downtown. That's all within walking distance from the JW. There are actually three hotels in the JW complex. Not only is the JW there, but there is a Fairfield and a Courtyard there. However, we've already priced those two locations, and frankly, you're not going to get any better than the $139 a night at the JW. I've seen a couple people go, wow, $139 for the JW is a lot. $139 for the JW is a steal.
What are those rooms normally? Like $289 a night, usually?
They are $200-plus yeah. easily a night.
This is literally, folks, this is the hotel that people want to stay in when they travel to Indianapolis. This is the one. I'm not sure how the club wound up so high on the list that they were able to get the convention for this. I was shocked when I heard it was in Indianapolis, even more shocked when I heard it was at the Marriott.
The JW, yeah.
It's a ridiculous hotel.
Of course, there is, to the east of the JW, is Circle Center Mall, and that's probably where you're going to find the fast food type places, food court, that type of thing, as well as more downtown Indianapolis attractions. St. Elmo's, a local attraction that has the finest shrimp cocktail in the land. Several high-quality steakhouses just a couple blocks away if you wish to partake in that type of stuff. You get to see the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. Why Indianapolis known as Circle City? Monument Circle. You've probably seen it if there's been any sporting events in Indianapolis or you've seen any B-roll of Indianapolis. It's the dead center geographic of the state, and that's where we have a monument celebrating Indiana's soldiers and sailors. Out and about the far west side is where you will find Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm thinking that might be a pre-con tour. I don't know. That's a whole day event out there where you get to take a lap around the track and one of the buses. You can lose yourself if you're an auto racing fan in the auto racing museum over there. Just lots of stuff to do. Plus, it's April. You might catch some early testing for the Indy 500.
It also would include a free tour of Jay Hunger's backyard as he does live in Turn 3.
Turn 1.
Whatever. Turn 1.
Hell yeah. It will involve joining of the Jay Hunger's house and everyone taking a dump on his front lawn.
Jay Hunger of the Moderately Kiki podcast.
What?
Remember, they do one once every couple of years.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'd pay $160 for a convention tour just to take a dump on Jay Hunger's lawn.
And, of course, those of you flying in Indianapolis will actually get to visit the brand new terminal that was just built at the International Airport. So it's a fantastic terminal. One of the reasons I love traveling is I get to travel in and out of that place. You get your bags fast. You get on your plane fast. TSA inspection is fast because it's the first terminal built post 9/11. So they have a lot of the TSA in mind and speeding your way through TSA. You'll probably find that you'll have a positive experience at the Indianapolis International Airport as well.
They make sure that the TSA agents that do the searches have the softest hands of the staff. Nobody who used to be a fry cook and just full of scar tissue. No. No, no. Soft hands.
And I hear they actually buy you a drink before they stick your hand down their pants.
As it should be.
As it should be.
One before and one after. It's a two-drink minimum.
If they spend too much time down there, they at least give you breakfast.
Ew, that's one easy airport.
number four.
How do you follow that?
I was going to say, yeah. Moving on from Hands Down Pants to G.I. Joe Toys, when can we pick up our convention set was question number four that we had on our list from our previous convention announcement specials. And basically, we're assuming a lot of this is going to be assumption at this point because we haven't seen a brochure yet, so we don't know if all the plans are the same now as they were last year. We imagine they are. If you are a golden ticket holder and you do elect to purchase a golden ticket, you can pick up your box set on Wednesday before the convention starts, which would be, I believe, Wednesday, April 3rd. And you could pick up your boxed set, only your box set that night. You can't pick up all the extras until Thursday with everybody else, but you actually get to move to the front of the line on Thursday to pick up that other stuff. So golden ticket holders pick up their box set on Wednesday, everything else on Thursday. Non-golden ticket holders will just pick up everything on Thursday. And generally, registration starts around 5 or 6. So that's when that stuff is all picked up. And then generally, they have a sales floor open again the next day if you want to get any duplicates, because they usually have limits that first couple of days to how much extra stuff you can buy. Question number five, do we have to buy a convention set to get into the convention? Kind of. It depends what you want to do. If you're a diehard G.I. Joe fan and you want to check out all the seminars, all the panels, all the autographs, get early access to the sales floor, then yes, you do need to buy a convention set to get all of those goodies. If you want to just kind of walk around the sales floor and check things out and talk to some buddies who are there, you can get general admission package right there at the door if you want. That's generally, what is that, like $12, something somewhere in that neighborhood? And that'll give you access to the sales floor and to the Hasbro display cases and different things of that nature. But you will not get access to any of the seminars or any of the events, none of the dinners, anything like that.
I think what the question there mainly focused on is there a convention ticket available that does not involve buying figures?
General mission, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Like, but you can, like a specific set that allows you to go to the panels and do all the extra stuff without purchasing figures.
Oh, that is a negative. No, you cannot go to any of the panels or any of those things without buying a set with the figures. That is part of your access to all of those special convention events. Now, if you're there with somebody, there's aid packages. I don't know, figures don't come with all those aid packages, correct, Gary?
No.
So if you bought your own convention set, you could then get an aid package for somebody to go in with you and get access to all the same events along with you, but you have to buy at least one set of convention-exclusive toys.
Yes.
Question number six is, when do we typically hear about the exclusives? And this is going to be kind of a hot topic, I think, coming up.
Well, we have a hint.
We do have a hint.
Or is it a theme? How do we know how to define that?
We do have a theme.
We have a theme. We have a title.
Yep. We've heard the title for this year's 3¾-inch theme is Nocturnal Fire, which immediately brings to mind Night Force for most folks out there, I would imagine, especially they had that little fluorescent green grid.
Am I the only one that's thinking nocturnal emissions?
No, Gary, I am too.
When I first heard that, I'm like, that sounds like a term that I don't want to hear when I'm talking with a doctor.
I had some nocturnal fire last night, I'll tell you.
And I think nocturnal emissions is a clinical way of saying wet dream.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Learn something every day, I guess. So, yeah, we know that much. As far as seeing pictures of the figures and things of that nature, I kind of went back in time the past 3 years to get an idea of the timing, and all I can tell you is I have no damn idea because every year seems to be different. 2011 was where I looked first because in 2011, the convention was held around the same time. It was March 31st through April 3rd. And so right at the end of March, beginning of April. So I kind of mirrored what happened back then to what was going on this year to see if we might get an idea of when we might start seeing some convention exclusive toys or see the brochure. I will say in 2011, though, JoeCon was actually announced in late October, so they announced it a while before they announced it this year. The brochure for 2011 was released on December 16th. It's only a little over a week from now, but it was 6 weeks after the date was announced in 2011. So you got to think they're going to try to get that information out to us quickly because the convention is going to be coming up quicker than we know it. So the brochure might be out this month. Who knows? That's just an assumption on my part. In 2011, the first action figure reveal was December 27th, and that was when we got our first look at the convention exclusive figures for that year, which I think was Leatherneck for Special Missions Brazil. I think he was the first one that we saw. I might be wrong on that, but that's kind of what sticks in my mind. So if they match that timeline, we could start seeing stuff later this month. I can't guarantee that's what they're going to do. That's a possibility. 2012, things were actually really compressed. The con date was June 29th to July 1st. As we all know, the date got shifted around. The hotel got shifted around. We didn't actually see our first figure until April 19th in 2012, which was only a couple months ahead of time. So So technically they could have leeway all the way up until February if they wanted to match what was last year. But I think we all know that things were really compressed and shifted around last year. So I wouldn't expect that to be the norm going forward. I even went back to 2010 to kind of look around a little bit. The Vacation in the Shadows set from Rhode Island. That convention was actually announced almost a year ahead of time. It was actually announced during the convention in 2009. And the convention was actually April 29th through May 2nd that year, which was late April. We didn't see our first figure that year, though, until February 11th. So you couldn't see that they cut that pretty close in 2010 as well. So it's quite possible we won't see anything until the next year. Brochure came out February 2nd, 2010. So like I said, all I can tell you is I don't know what to tell you because it jumps pretty much all over the place. I think we can probably expect, hopefully, the brochure to be out by the end of December, maybe early January. And then hopefully, typically, once the brochure comes out, figures start being shown very shortly thereafter. In 2011, brochure came out December 16th. First figure was December 27th, about 10 days later. In 2010, brochure came out February 2nd. The first figure of the year was February 11th, about 10 days later. So I think maybe that's one of the constants we can expect is once the brochure hits, we should start seeing figures maybe about 10 days afterwards.
Okay.
Question number 7, how much money should we bring?
Lots.
Lots, yes. Basically, this question gets asked every year, and it's funny because every year the Collectors Club typically says, well, what did you bring last year, and bring a little bit more. And every year they say, yeah, what did you bring last year? Oh, yeah, bring a little more. Well, what did you bring last year? We'll bring a little bit more. Well, now that it's been 10 years the convention's been going on, that's turned into a lot more every year.
Are you ready for last year's numbers?
Shoot.
Last year, this is just if you're a 3¾-inch collector and you want one of everything, the IG Ground Assault 2-pack, $58. The Annihilator 3-pack, $69. The Soviet Convoy Truck, $99. The OG Attack Helicopter, $75. Let's see, the other thing I believe on this that everyone wanted was the Convention Stealth Paratrooper, $30.
Not to mention carded exclusive figure was another $30.
Yes, carded Footloose was $30, loose Footloose was $25.
That's one of everything, so obviously you can take it or leave it based on the reaction I heard from people at the convention. You maybe don't, the truck and the helicopter weren't exactly knocking people out, so your mileage may vary. If you want one of everything, then you got to be prepared for it. And the golden ticket, if you decide to get the golden ticket as well, what was that, $325 last year? Is that what the golden ticket was, Gary?
It's $382 for one of everything for 3¾. The American Hero package was $345 for members.
Yeah.
And then the package upgrade, additional $300. For American Hero. So it was $645.
Right. But the gold ticket portion of that was $300.
Which is another $300 added on top of the
exactly.
$345.
So we're talking, if you want the golden ticket, close to $1,000. To a lot of people, that can be sticker shock. I can understand why. It's not cheap. The toys are very high quality. If you're the type of person who might possibly flip something, and generally you can make most of your money back. So that might not be such a big deal. I know me personally, I had a buddy of mine who actually went in half with me on the golden ticket price. He was willing to absorb some of those costs in order to ensure that we were able to get one of everything, because generally the golden ticket holders also have a limit of double what the normal folks do the next day. So it ensures that you can get two of everything instead of just one. So if you have a buddy you're going in with, then get them to pay part of the golden ticket to make sure that you get something for them and something for yourself, and it helps kind of balance the costs out a little bit. To be honest, it's worth the $300 to see noted author James Cavanaugh leading a parade down the streets of New Orleans. So that was worth the money to me.
Thankfully, the cost of living in Indianapolis is not that high, so I think the restaurants you'll probably find to be reasonable. You might be able to save some money there. I'm not quite sure what flights are to Indianapolis, because I don't have to look that up. But I don't know what that number is. That's the only unknown I have. But everything else in terms of inside of Indianapolis, the city, is fairly reasonable price.
Question number 8, which is actually the last question kind of that we had pre-designed, although I think we'll talk a little bit further about the FAQs. But question number 8 is, what kinds of seminars will we see? That, you know, remains pretty constant year after year. There's generally a Hasbro seminar. What will typically happen is that the Hasbro seminar will be on Saturday, usually. They'll open the sales room for a sneak preview on Friday, and you can come in and kind of look at the display cases, check some things out, see what's going on. The Hasbro seminar will be on Saturday, and typically after that seminar on Saturday, they will bring more figures out into the display case. place. The sales floor usually opens at like 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon after the parachute drop and all that stuff.
Yep.
So then, yeah, the seminars go all day Saturday, and typically the Hasbro seminar, they might show a couple other new figures, and then when you go back out of the display case, those new figures are now in the case. So that's pretty much how it works. The seminars, we'll usually see an IDW seminar. I would imagine that will probably still happen this year. Since we're so close to the movie release, I have a feeling we'll probably see a G.I. Joe Retaliation theme seminar.
Yeah.
And that seems almost a given. Beyond that, you usually have Mark Bellomo ends up there. He'll do usually a great seminar about the history of G.I. Joe, about writing his books. Sometimes Larry Hama will do something. I don't know if he's going to be at the convention this year. He wasn't there last year. If he's there this year, he typically does a seminar. Kirk Bazigian does his flashback to the past, which is always pretty cool. The Collectors Club folks, you know, Dave Lane will sometimes do something. There's usually a Collectors Club roundtable. There's all sorts of different seminars, different fun events to go check out while you're there. Just do yourself a favor. Don't just fixate on, oh, I want to see Hasbro to see the new stuff. I want to go to IDW to hear the new comic stuff, and I want to go to a Collectors Club seminar so I can hear what's going on there. Don't fixate on that. Go to some of the historical stuff. It's really, really good. It's very educational. You learn stuff you didn't know. You get to sit in the same room and talk to guys who basically brought this brand to life back in the 80s. Larry Hama, who is essentially the godfather of these characters and kind of gave them the life that you know, a guy named Kirk Bazigian or Ron Rudat, if he's there, and Kirk Rohn, any of these people who have been there over the years, essentially shaped our childhoods with what they did with these figures, how they constructed them, the amount of research they put into every single design that they put forth. You can't understand how much work went into this stuff until you hear them talk about it. So do yourself a favor. Go to some of the historical stuff. Don't just fixate on the new stuff. You'll learn something and it'll be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, I got last year's schedule PDF here from last year. Friday was a light day. I think the only thing I really went to that Friday was the G.I. Joe Collectors Club magazine comic panel, yeah, which had Dave Lane and Pete Sinclair. Saturday was when we had all of the Hasbro stuff. The Insider's Panel Guide to Hasbro, and then there was Behind the Scenes of G.I. Joe Retaliation. Yep. Behind the Scenes of Retaliation immediately rolled into the Hasbro
Right. Roundtable,
so it went back to back. Saturday is the big day, at least it was last year.
Yeah, stuff like the Retaliation panel, the Behind the Scenes stuff, that is so cool. It's almost depressing because you see all sorts of stuff that didn't make the screen for the movie. You know, Logan Lubero was the one giving the presentation. He was a kind of a Hasbro liaison between Hasbro and Paramount, and so he was kind of one of the real top guys who interacted with the folks at Paramount, interacted with the actors themselves, and kind of gave the G.I. Joe spirit during the filming of the movie. So he's a really cool guy to kind of pick the brain of. Don't shortchange yourself. Make sure you make it to some of these seminars that you might not think are such a fun deal. They really are.
Justin encouraging everyone to try the old stuff sounds like Justin when he's at the bar.
Bazinga!
Similarly, Gary, as a connoisseur of Indianapolis cuisine, do you have any recommendations for the audience that may require a good Cobb salad while in town?
Booyah!
Oh, yeah. Wait, let me get a piece of paper and a pen here. Hold on.
I don't think you have to really leave the hotel for that. I think just about anybody can make a Cobb salad, can't they?
I mean, you would think. You would think that a Cobb salad is so regular that it is not really a meal fit for a celebratory final offering. Not to mention a pretty cool Steak and Shake downtown, really.
I don't encourage people to come all the way to Indiana go to Steak and Shake.
I'm just saying, it's kind of a neat little place. They have it set up like a diner.
I don't have any Steak and Shakes up in where I am, so maybe I'll go.
They don't have Cobb salads.
And I'll go to St. Elmo without you.
Well, if you want
to St. Elmo, you'll probably get the damnedest fine Cobb salad that money can buy.
They do have a Tilted Kilt downtown.
Tilted Kilt?
Basically, it's a Hooters with a Scottish theme.
Excellent.
They're an increasingly national entity, but again, you would know that if you didn't live at the midsection of a giant tree.
Oh, what's next? Thoughts about exclusives this year. What do we think they might be?
I thought it might be fun to kind of hypothesize a little bit. I mean, I know we're all pretty much, not only us, but everybody in the fandom is thinking it's almost a guarantee that it's something to do with Night Force. I agree with that.
Night Force in an Indiana convention?
Mm.
Where have I heard that before? Mike, where have you heard that before?
Perhaps at CoilCon. Imaginative, futuristic conventioneering for the new millennium.
It's going to be Night Force versus the Coil, but it's going to be completely unrelated to your convention.
Unrelated, of course.
It's merely coincidence.
It'll be Dodger in his Coil disguise.
And typically, the club will borrow from stuff that hasn't made it out retail-wise from Hasbro, and I'm trying to think, what have we seen recently that they haven't borrowed from yet?
The obvious thing with Night Force. I mean, the Night Force Falcon from the 25th anniversary, but as we all know, that's supposed to be coming out with the figure subscription service Wave 2, so they're obviously not going to do that.
We've got that on the calendar already for 2016.
I would imagine we just got to figure out what other Night Force offerings there might be. I think my gut's telling me that it's going to, almost definitely we're going to see a Shockwave update. I just think the 25th anniversary yeah. Shockwave was not a very good version of the character. They've got the parts now to really kind of do that a lot better. They could certainly use the vest still, maybe on some other parts. Imagine like a really cool updated Shockwave with Cobra Shock Trooper parts or Commando Snake Eyes parts or whatever other cooler parts are available these days. I could see them doing a really badass Shockwave, so something tells me maybe we'll see him. Part of me thinks that the club will pull a curveball, but, you know, I kind of thought they'd pull a curveball with Special Missions Brazil. Well, they did. I mean, they gave us some different things, but they still used the exact same characters from the old Special Missions Brazil exclusive set. That makes me wonder, you know, are they really going to pull out some stops and add some new characters to the Night Force idea? Or are they just going to give us some newer versions of, like, Outback and Shockwave and Spearhead and Lightfoot and Repeater and guys like that? And I guess either one is possible. What I'd like to see is kind of Shockwave, like I said. If they wanted to revamp Outback, that'd be pretty cool, because the 25th anniversary version was so-so. It wasn't great, but it was all right. I don't want to see him do another Tunnel Rat or anything like that. I guess the real question would be who the Cobra folks are going to be. And I'm going to kind of go out on a little bit of limb here, and I've been clamoring for it for years now, so I'm just going to kind of take my shot and say they're going to finally introduce the Plague to the G.I. Joe Collectors Club universe, and maybe we'll see some of them with this particular set. That might be a stretch, but
when I think Wet Dreams, I think Plague.
Of course.
Hey!
That would be cool to get the Plague in there. For those that don't know about the Plague, who's in the Plague?
Yeah, for folks who haven't followed the Devil's Due universe, there's a lot of stuff that Devil's Due did that people aren't wild about, but a lot of people seem to really have latched on to the idea of the Plague, which was Cobra Commander's kind of answer to the G.I. Joe team, basically 13 members of Cobra who were kind of matched the specialties for the original 13 G.I. Joe members, and they first appeared kind of in the later days of the DDP G.I. Joe universe, but they were led by Blackout, Munisha was part of the team. There's just some very cool people. They kind of took army builders like a Crimson Guard, like an Eel, and made him into a guy named Guillotine, who was pretty cool. There was a Night Creeper in there. They took all these troopers and took individual characters of those troopers and brought them into this one unified Cobra team. I just thought the effect was really cool. The look was really neat. They all had kind of black commando sweaters, helmets that reflected their specialties. So I think the subject is ripe for the Collectors Club to kind of run with, because you could use a lot of recycled parts with just some new helmets here and there. I just think it's something that would be really cool for the Collectors Club to further explore. So that's kind of what I'm taking my shot at, is the Plague.
I'm going to make a guess that is wildly irresponsible, considering our place as information distribution specialists in the community. I'm going to say Zombie Breaker. Count on it.
Oh, my head hurts all of a sudden.
I just did that to make Gary feel bad.
We've already pissed off Gary with the selection of the city. Let's just go whole hog and make it a Zombie Viper set and just really drive him over the edge.
Oh, my God.
And just imagine if Cover Girl gets shipped from the FSS at the same
time. Oh,
man. Oh. Man.
He would probably, oh, Gary might, man, just bring a freaking gun to the convention.
Gary will be on literal lockdown. Quarantined to his room.
I'd like to see Night Force Crazy Legs. Night Force Repeater, I think, would be a lot of fun. Night Force Spearhead with Max, that'd be cool.
Some of these guys I would take just regular versions for, honestly, before I started selling it on Night Force ones, but okay.
Well, Spearhead, I actually like the Night Force Spearhead better than the original myself, but...
Well, yeah, because he's not orange, but, like, Repeater was a guy who deserved some love in his original version.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's too far out. I mean, the Brazil one gave us Leatherneck in his original togs, so...
True.
Don't forget, Action Man is a member of Night Force. Would the club revisit that one? I don't know, but that would be the 12-inch crossover, obviously. They want to do something there. So there are some ideas. The club wants to go down the Night Force. I see a lot of speculation, though, on the convention souvenirs.
Yeah.
And everyone's going Night Boomer.
That seems like an obvious choice.
It seems like an obvious choice, but let's say, for the sake of argument, that there is going to be a Night Boomer. Give me a convention price for that, Justin.
Oh, geez, probably like $150, somewhere in that neighborhood, $150. I could see that happening.
I would be shocked if that sucker came out at less than $200. Shocked.
Ooh, less than $200. No, we're talking con prices, not talking eBay.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I could see that being the one vehicle they do. I could see them throwing a tag on it of $200. Done. I mean, outside of maybe some little attendee exclusive type thing, like a Night Force Claw Glider or something, but...
But I would have to say it would be the $100 price point, which everyone was complaining about last year. So I'm curious to see if they do it, how people feel about it.
I'll tell you why people are complaining about a $100 price point last year, because they were paying $100 for an Indiana Jones truck.
Yeah, and $75 for a helicopter that was on clearance for $12. You know,
yeah, I'm thinking $150. Yeah. Was it the Tiger Ray?
It was 75, and that was a long time. That was 8 years ago.
I think double that is probably reasonable.
Yep. Gosh, they tried to do a freaking hydrofoil these days, that thing would be like $300. There's no way they're going to do that for $100, Chuck, I'm sorry to say. I don't think they'd be able to make it happen. I mean, look at the size of the truck and the size of the helicopter. Those were almost $100. The Skystriker is twice the size of those things.
My thinking is coming from the fact that it's still a vehicle that's available in retail stores for full price. So what I'm thinking is they do it for $100. It's just that the production run will be very low.
Well, see, the lower the production run, the more expensive it is, though.
Yeah, not break them out of a box and spray paint them.
Well, that's the other thing. Will people go for it, or will they have the attitude that I can buy this at Toys R Us for $35?
If the club sells a Night Boomer for $150 at the convention, that thing will sell out. I guarantee
it. Well, now let me answer the very important question. Glow-in-the-dark stickers, yes or no?
I think if they could make it happen, they would, I think they'd do that.
But would you guys be okay with that?
Sure,
All right, well, because it's a gimmick.
Coil did glow-in-the-dark stickers with their Night Force Nighthawk.
Who did?
The Coil Club.
The whole glow-in-the-dark stickers, I think, took James a grand total of 20 minutes to figure out.
Where I'm coming from is I know with collectors, they tend to shun gimmicks, and a glow-in-the-dark sticker on a vehicle is a gimmick type of thing.
They don't want gimmicks that affect the playability of the vehicle. I think glow-in-the-dark stickers, I don't think, would affect the playability of the vehicle. That'd be fine.
Anybody who would like glow-in-the-dark stickers would just visit Cobra Stickers and get something else. Who knows, there's enough Skystriker options there. My head was, I was looking at it.
I don't know if I would call that a gimmick rather than a feature. Some spring-loaded, that's what we don't like. We don't like something spring-loaded, something as subtle as a glow-in-the-dark sticker, I can't see why the collectors wouldn't like that.
Leave spring-loaded rocket launchers for the second-string robot toys.
I guarantee if they don't do glow-in-the-dark stickers, there's going to be a subset of collectors who complain about it.
There's always a subset of collectors.
I always remember the subset of collectors that complained that there were no gloves on 25th anniversary Flint.
Oh my God, I just had flashbacks.
So after this coming Super Bowl, when the Patriots have lost again, this time in a probable AFC championship matchup with Denver, what jersey are we going to have Justin wear since he didn't wear one last year?
I believe he still needs to serve his time in a Eli Manning jersey.
I was perfectly willing to serve my time. It's not my fault that it didn't end up in the bag. Not my fault.
Are you going to throw Debbie under the bus on like this? Are you going to do that to Debbie?
Are you going to throw Debbie under the bus?
Debbie's fault was not on her jersey.
Are you going to do that to Debbie? Are you going to do that to Debbie?
Debbie, I got your back, Debbie. I'm Gary.
Clearly, you do not.
You know why Gary said this hotel's so nice? Because God knows how many weeks he's had to spend there when Debbie's kicked him out of the house over blaming her for this jersey fiasco.
That makes no sense, Chuck. That would actually be an upgrade to go live there.
He goes to the little shanty shack down the road in Noblesville. Pays us $14.99 an hour.
The no-tell motel?
Do you think possibly see any of the other Night Force vehicles, meaning that these would be vehicles we haven't seen in mass retail?
No. I mean, we might see did they do a Night Force Shark?
Nightshade.
Right, yeah. I thought so. We could see that, because that was in the 25th anniversary line. But I don't think we're going to see anything that we have not seen in mass retail, no. No, there's a collector's club that has money to tool up totally new vehicles.
Night Force Road Toad, perhaps?
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Night Force Coastal Defender.
They're going to do a Night Force Aerodrome is what they're going to do.
There you go, folks.
Attacks the Terradrome and captures it and turns it Night Force.
There you go, folks. You heard it here first.
Justin Bell, isn't it? Well, Justin Bell at whatsonjoemind.com.
It's the kind of hard-hitting, accurate analysis you get from What's on Joe Mind.
Live, local, and late-breaking.
Fair and balanced.
Anything else before we wrap this up?
Your mail. Mail day.
FAQ mail.
Fuck mail.
Fact mail.
Fact mail.
All right, pick a couple from the FAQs, Mike, and read them off.
Question. I plan to buy the non-attending Homefront Hero package from this year's convention. I'm just wondering if the price is the same for an international purchase and what the shipping would be approximately.
Take your firstborn, throw it in the package,
One question that hasn't been asked that I'm surprised it hasn't been asked already, to be honest, just by people online. The airport's a little bit of a drive from Indianapolis. The airport's located on the southwest side of the city. I think it's about a 15-minute drive in from the airport to the hotel. And I'm trying to look up transportation services. I want to say a hotel like the JW probably has a shuttle, but I'm not finding it offhand. We might have to save this for another episode. We'll circle back around and sure. figure it out. I'm on the Indianapolis International Airport website, which is IndianapolisAirport.com, and I don't see anything there for the JW. I don't see anything for downtown Indianapolis, period. We'll have to look that up. There's got to be some sort of shuttle to and from. Otherwise, my ass is going to be going to the airport and back, I'm sure, quite a bit.
That's right. You got one of those, like, Hummer limos, right? You can just come in and grab, like, six of us at a time. And
he's got it.
The thought occurred to me last night, and I was talking to Deb about this. I said, you know,
just bring the Bentley. You could do that, too.
I was thinking, well, parking down there, even if I have a room, is $28 a night or something like that. If I was just going down there for the day, and a lot of people are like, well, aren't you staying at home? No, forget it. I got a room with the JW. I'm going to stay downtown. I know better, especially if we're going to do a lot of drinking and I'm going to drive north through Hamilton County. Forget
that's
that.
That's a dumb idea.
Yeah, Mike knows what I'm talking about.
That's a dumb idea.
That is a really dumb idea. So I didn't want to do all this driving back and forth, but I didn't want to pay $28 a night. So I'm thinking we might just leave the cars here and then have a limo or something come pick us up here and then really go down in style.
Damn. Make sure Trouble Magnet's out waiting to get in the convention when you roll up in a limo. That would just freaking make his head explode.
If you were a tuxedo, that would be even better.
Oh, getting out with a little thing of crystal? Oh, yeah.
And get like a jacket with a little Illuminati sign on the back that just says Joe Illuminati. Have like
a
little
camouflage
or something.
Triangle.
And in Latin it says puller of strings.
That would be awesome.
Power hungry in Latin.
Power hungry, puller of strings. We thought about that. I don't know if that will happen or not, but like I said, I still have family here local, and getting the ride back Sunday night or Monday morning is not a big deal, so. But yes, even though I live here, folks, even though I live here, and it's 45 minutes door-to-door, I am going to be at the hotel all the time.
Dude, that is part of the freaking experience.
It is.
When I went to San Francisco, I went with my buddy Pete, and we stayed at his friend's house, which is about 30 minutes outside the city. And dude, having to sit there at 11 o'clock while all my buddies were walking up to the bar, waiting for my ride to come. Yeah, forget it.
Yeah,
I was all right with it in New Orleans, but it was really only because there was literally half a block between.
Yeah, I mean, that's one. If you need to stay at a hotel that's like right down the road, that's not a big deal, right?
I got to walk through the courtyards of two restaurants before I got back to where I was staying, so more often than not, it just led to more fun because I would run into people on the way.
There you go.
I will tell you, the weather for Indy is nothing like the NOLA humidity.
No, my God, no.
That time of year, what it's going to probably be, maybe you don't need the winter jackets. The winter jackets are away. Thinking maybe a sweatshirt at night and a light jacket during the day, something like that, Mike?
Yeah, it may still be a little chilly that time of year. I'm not going to go out and say that Indianapolis is the tropics or anything, but yeah, it's not going to be terrible. There's not going to be snow on the ground in all likelihood. Nothing along those lines.
In terms of rain, might be hit or miss.
Yeah, that is kind of one thing.
Well,
where
the April showers, May flowers thing is kind of rings true here a little bit. Although lately it seems to be more rain in May and less in April, but who knows. Indianapolis is also very easy to get around downtown. Everything's in a grid pattern. Everything's very nicely spaced out north, south, east, west. So if you make a wrong turn somewhere, just find another corner, turn four times, and you're back right where you left off.
Nice.
We'll look up the transportation to and from the airport for probably one of our regular episodes to figure that one out. There's got to be something to and from the airport.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, we'll get the answers.
Mike, anything else from you?
No, not really. I think I'm all right. I think I've got it all covered.
All right, closing words. Justin.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about the convention. I've got an early hotel room bookage all set already, so planning on making it if at all possible. I do sometimes have a work-related event during the month of April, so that takes me off to Kansas City. So kind of hoping that's not going to fall in this same window. As long as it doesn't, then I'm good to go. Like I said, I already got the hotel booked just to be on the safe side. Hopefully I'll see everybody in Indianapolis and can't wait to see more information about this year's set. Nothing better than convention speculation time during the year, in my opinion. And I know people hate it when the club does their little tricks and gives their hints and keeps things a surprise and people get all bent out of shape. But, you know, I kind of like it. I enjoy it. I like the suspense. I like the game of trying to guess what's coming next. And so on and so forth. So call me one of those people that ruins everybody's fun. But I'm really looking forward to that for the next few weeks. It's a great time of year to be a Joe fan, especially in 2012 when not a whole lot has been going on. I'll take whatever excitement I can get. So bring it on.
Mike, same thing. It's kind of nice to be in the recurring guest mode. Like I said, I told Justin a couple days ago that I wasn't going to make this one probably unless it was in one of about three places, and one of those three places came up. So, yay me. I'm pretty psyched for it. I'll be happy to have everybody in my town for a change and know what's going on there, and I like playing tour guide, so I'm pretty fired up for this one.
Mike will be a grand ambassador. Oh, Mike's a new JoeCon ambassador.
Think you can get that, sash?
Yeah, good luck on that one.
The big question that everyone's been asking is, will Chuck Dog 1999 be making an appearance? Chuck, you know where it is. You know who's here. You know how much it is to get here. What excuse are you going to give us this time?
I'm just going to ignore that because that's basically a derivative of cyberbullying. And I'm just going to focus on the fact that it's Nightforce. You can make a safe estimate of what the figures would be. But one thing I think we forgot to mention is, who knows, we might even get a special screening of the G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah, I think that's probably a given. It's going to be funny, though, because it happened, you know, since the convention is a couple days after the movie, you got to figure anybody who's going to a G.I. Joe convention is probably going to see the movie on opening night, so everybody probably will have seen it already. I'm hoping they'll maybe invite some people involved with the production or something like that. I'm all for it. I don't care if the ticket's going to be $30. I don't care if I've seen it 3 days beforehand. I'm signing up for that one, too.
If that's the case, the nearest theater is the Circle Center Mall, so it's probably going to be held there. Isn't there an IMAX around there? Isn't it White River State Park or an IMAX?
State Park has an IMAX, yes.
Who knows? They might actually ramp it up to IMAX, so it's nearby. Well, Chuck, you never answered the question. Are you coming or not?
I did answer that because your little preamble was a derivative of cyberbullying. The answer is I don't know.
There's the answer we were looking for. Thank you very much, Chuck. We will not be seeing you at JoeCon this year.
I am pulling up Travelocity as we speak.
Are you going to give him a couple quotes here before the time's up?
I thought he was looking up the definition of cyberbullying.
My take. Well, you know what? It's not going to be Indianapolis next year. All you people from Indiana that wanted it here and whined and bitched and moaned, you better show up. Unless you have a birth of a baby or something is preventing you from coming down for just a couple of hours, your ass better be at JoeCon. That's all I got to say about that. All I have to say, War 2014, no JoeCon in Indiana. Thank you very much.
You're looking ahead. He's written off this year's convention already. Yeah.
You're bombarding me with CoverGirl and the FSS and JoeCon Indianapolis. I mean, come on, Lanny. Come on, Dave. Come on, Brian. Or anything else you could take a swing at me about to get even with me. Well, and that's because that's a form of cyberbullying.
Chuck's least expensive fare would be arriving on Thursday the 4th, departing on Monday morning the 8th. Comes in at $303.20.
That's not bad.
Wow. That's not bad at all. That's cheaper than my Toy Fair flight.
That would probably come down once we get past the holidays a little bit.
All right, Chuck. We'll see you there.
Start scraping. Shave those legs all the way up to the hip, Chuck. Just made a Chuck Horan joke. I'm pretty proud of that, actually.
So that will do it for this episode, this special edition number 21 of What's On Joe Mind. It's the JoeCon site announcement. Yay. So for our showrunner, Chuck, co-host Justin and Mike, I'm Gary. Saying to all our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and we'll catch you on the next special edition of What's On Joe Mind. See ya.
See you in Indy.
Guitar each night for the finest kind. I've left a whole lot of chance on the road behind. I don't believe in fate, I call it destiny. And if I'm lucky yet, she'll keep a place for me. Oh, she will. Indeed. standing near an orange tree. I keep it hidden in my pocket with a rosary. I told the driver of the bus.